All right. I am Susan Young. This is the August 6th, 2026 meeting of the Pacifica National Board. We are starting at 8:32 Eastern Time. Aki, as recording secretary in Julie's absence, will you take the role?
Sure, here goes. Teresa Kajabram, Donna Carter.
Present.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth. Jill Mage asks to excuse absence. Sari Guerra.
Here.
Thank you. Jan Goodman. Judy Hewitt.
Yeah, Judy has requested an excused absence, and by the way, so did Fred Dodsworth.
Yeah, Jan Goodman here.
Okay, Jan is here. Thank you. And Evadia Jones, Zach Caldevia.
Here.
Thank you, sorry. Sean K. McPherson. Sean. Let's see, are you muted?
Sean keeps muting and unmuting and muting and unmuting.
Okay, I'll go back here. Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Okay, Ron Pinchback?
Here.
Thank you. Myra Reason?
I'm here.
Okay. Serene Roberts?
Present.
Hello.
Okay. Thank you. And then James Hagerton. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you. Harvey is asked for excuse. Dennis Williams.
I'm here.
Okay. Michael Woodson. Michael. I see you there, but okay. I'll just get back. Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, just going to go back.
I'm here, Michael Woodson, sorry.
Okay, sure. Got it. Just going back to the top. Teresa Allen? Kaja Brown? Fred
Did Dodsworth? Kaja request an excused absence?
Okay.
Fred, did he?
That was a question.
Question. Okay, we'll come back around on those.
Yeah. Fred Dodsworth?
Excused.
Is it? Okay. All right. Evadia Jones?
Present.
Oh, thank you. Great. Sean Trey McPherson?
I am here.
Good. Okay. Mike with that. Okay. James Sagerton? Okay. We've got... Fourteen on, so it's fine. And then Stephanie?
Here.
Stephanie's here. And then we have our chair.
What here.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Notice is here. Okay.
And is Aki Tanaka here?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
And Jan Goodman, may I inquire?
Yes.
Did someone note that Harvey Wasserman
yes,
asked for
have.
An excused absence?
And I'm about to read through those, Jan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the requested excused absences, and I'm going to ask if there are any objections. Fred Dodsworth, I'm sorry, not Kaja, Jerome Edge, Julie Hewitt, and Harvey Wasserman. Are there any objections to excusing those absences that were all requested in advance? Hearing none, they're excused. Preliminary items. I'll go ahead and read the agenda. 5 minutes. Call to order, chair. Roll call by recording secretary. Report out from July 23rd. The PNB met in executive session to discuss confidential financial matters and passed the following motion. The PNB directs Pacifica's executive director to use her authority to address the foundation's urgent financial matters and supports her in doing so. Excused absences, we already went through that. Timekeepers, Darlene, are you willing to serve?
Yes.
Agenda approval for open portion of the agenda, 5 minutes. Minutes approval for July 9 meeting, 5 minutes. ED report and Q&A, 10. NES report and Q&A, 10. Committee reports, audit and finance will both defer to executive session. The governance committee has got one motion in the appendix and one motion withdrawn. D, personnel, we've had no meetings. Affiliates report, unfinished business, new business. Move to, motion to move to executive session at a time no later than 9:30 p.m. ET. Is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, we'll move forward with it. First item, minutes approval. Are there corrections to the minutes that have been distributed? Hearing none, they are accepted. ED report. Go ahead, Stephanie.
I have sent out, just right when the meeting first started, a new, revised.
I'm so sorry, Stephanie. I rushed to stand on the minutes. Thanks.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Serene, what were you asking?
Stephanie, I said I was sorry to interrupt you. I was slow on meeting. I wish to abstain on the minutes. Thanks.
Yeah, you're recognized. Okay, Serene, please, Akio, note that Serene abstains on the minutes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Thank you, Serene, for apologizing. Okay, go ahead, Stephanie.
I just sent out right when the meeting started, per Serene's suggestion. Thank you. The revised confidential and shareable ED report, and the word revised is in the header, so that makes it easier as people go ahead and share the shareable report with their local station boards and committees and such. But the most exciting thing to announce to everyone is that we have the FCC consent decree has successfully concluded, and we have fulfilled all of our obligations successfully under the FCC consent decree, and we have been formally released from its terms. We entered into the consent decree, this is the background information, in 2024 following violations that were involving FCC sponsorship identification and underwriting restrictions, and it required us to implement a very comprehensive compliance program. We needed to develop FCC compliance policies and procedures, provide mandatory training to all appropriate staff and programmers, establish internal reporting and documentation processes, and maintain ongoing oversight of FCC compliance. Over the past 2 years, under the great leadership of John Amella, we have continued to move forward, developing all of the things that we've needed to do. We've had trainings that go on a regular basis. In the very beginning, we needed to train close to, well, over 900 programmers. And even the FCC, I think, was pretty amazed that we were able to complete something like that. And we still continue to have FCC trainings on a regular basis. To ensure the compliance, continued compliance, we will maintain all the policies and procedures that we have developed during this period. We are also adding political broadcasting training that is provided to station management, and we have also implemented new internal monitoring tools that enable us to identify any potential FCC compliant issues as soon as a program is recently archived. And these tools are allowing us to identify any potential concerns very promptly. And then when that happens, we provide additional training when needed. We document the corrective actions, and then that continues to strengthen the culture of compliance across the network. So even though we are out of the consent decree, that doesn't mean that we are no longer following any of those compliance issues. We are still maintaining the same policies and the compliance things that we needed to do as we continue to move forward. So we are basically committing that we are our commitment to governance, regulatory compliance, and the protection of all of our broadcast licenses. So again, I just want to read this part out loud from the report, just to get it out here on the record, is that I want to extend my deepest gratitude and recognition to John Amella, who is Pacifica's Director of Engineering and National Compliance Officer, whose leadership and expertise and unwavering dedication were instrumental in achieving this outcome. From the inception of the consent decree through its successful conclusion, John meticulously managed every aspect of Pacifica's compliance obligations. He developed and implemented the required compliance program, coordinated documentation and reporting, conducted training, worked closely with legal counsel and station management, and ensured that every deadline and requirement was met with exceptional professionalism and attention to detail. The successful termination of the consent decree, I believe, is a direct reflection of John's tireless commitment to protecting Pacifica's broadcast licenses and strengthening our compliance infrastructure. His diligence, persistence, and countless hours of work over the past 2 years have positioned us in a far stronger regulatory position than when this process began. So on behalf of all of us at the Pacifica Foundation, we offer John our sincere appreciation and thank him for his extraordinary service to the network, because his efforts have made a lasting contribution to Pacifica and to the protection of one of our most valuable assets, which is our FCC broadcast licenses.
So, Stephanie, why don't we take a quick break here and then get back to the rest of your report, because I see some hands up. Serene, then Sally, then Mala.
And Teresa Allen has entered meeting.
Thank you very much for reminding me. Teresa, can you say hello?
Hi, glad to be here.
Great. Sorry, Serene?
Hi, thank you, Stephanie, for the report. Two questions.
Three.
One is that you had promised the PMB that we would get the same FCC training that our team had received, and we never did get that. But since the rules are continuing, it would be really useful if that could be scheduled within the next couple of weeks or so we understand what they are to be doing. The second question is, can you give us the date of the give us the status of the WBAI license? I saw an email about it, but I don't remember from whom. And the third is, does this continuation mean that WBAI is still barred from offering premiums, although some other stations currently offer and have continued to offer? Thanks.
We don't offer premiums. There's no station that technically offers premiums. We have thank you gifts. The FCC consent decree was based upon the method that the premiums at the time that they were called that were coming through WBAI were not in compliance with any sort of underwriting and sponsorships. So it was a multitude of things that were under that consent decree, but it was basically, in a nutshell, items were being sold and not being...
I understand what the problem was. My question is...
Right, we're not offering premiums.
Are we now able to offer thank you gifts? Are we now able to offer thank you gifts?
No, we're still offering thank you gifts.
Has WBAI ever been prevented from offering thank you gifts subsequently?
No, they have not been prevented from doing that.
Okay, next question. Sally?
Yeah,
License application for WBAI has been submitted, and when we get information regarding that, we will share that with everyone when we're able to share that.
Hey, Sally.
Yeah, you mentioned tools to find
Someone
potential...
Muted me. My third question was about the training for the board that was promised a couple of years ago.
Serene, you already asked that.
That is up to John to make that decision with the training. It's a recording that we can send out. When we do the recording with individuals, it's a 2-hour training. And people ask questions afterward, and we provide a recap. But the video that starts those trainings, I'm sure it would not be a problem to mail out with, to mail out to everyone.
Okay, thanks.
Sally.
Okay. Yes, you had mentioned tools to find possible violations or what have you. What sort of tools are those?
They are run through a software system that picks up certain keywords, cuss words, any sort of, and that's particularly what it's for. It's trained to pick up on certain statements, words, comments that may be a violation. And then we get a printout of those, and then we were able to go back and listen to those programs and see if it was accurate or not. And then if it was, we will then talk to the programmers, depending upon the level of the violation, just tell them be careful next time, or we'll go ahead and we put them through the training again, not necessarily pulled. They're not necessarily, does everybody get pulled from the air if something happens like that, but they will get a written warning. And if it warrants being pulled, then they'll get pulled from the air. We'll put together a training just specifically for them. And then they go through that training and then get put back on the air. And that process sometimes is maybe 48 hours or 2 weeks, depending on the availability of the programmers. And we have provided trainings like that in Spanish as well. So the training is in Spanish. And then when we have the question and answer section, we have someone that comes in and helps translate those questions to John.
Okay. Yeah. The obvious words that can't be said on air, that's easy. The other words, I'm a little nervous about because context is so important and free speech is what we're all about. Check.
That's why we listen to it. We don't take anything that's just coming from this application as godsend. If there's something that is flagged, they're listened to and that determination is made.
Okay.
Myla.
This isn't the question. I just want to co-sign my great appreciation for the extraordinary work of John Almella. He's just been tremendously helpful during this whole process, and as a volunteer staff producer, co-host, etc., I just can't thank him enough. And you put it really well, Stephanie, and I appreciate how lavish your praise was, because I'm in total agreement. So thank you very much.
I suggest that any who wish to send a thank you and compliment to John, do so. I will. Stephanie, is there more to your report?
Yes, there's quite a bit that people can read, because I don't want to take up a bunch of time regarding updates with the with each of the stations and highlights of what they're doing, links to things to listen to, links to events that are being offered, and concerts and things like that. So people can go ahead and read that. But as far as another important thing to cover is an audit and taxes update. So as we've talked about in meetings prior to this, is that we have had...
We'll have a full update in executive session. So anything that needs to be held for executive session, we have reserved time for that.
Okay. We have an extended deadline for all the information that had been delayed by one of the units to be sent to us by August 11th. We are working with them very closely to make sure all of that is completed and provided to us. We're uploading every time we get something from one of the stations into that station, uploaded into our dashboard with our auditors, and then they're reviewing it and then saying, yes, this is good, or we need to make a few adjustments. One of the things also is that we have an accounting firm that we've been working with has written letters and submitted formal correspondence to both the IRS and the California Attorneys General requesting that they fix the outdated revocation status that is displayed on their respective websites. One of the things that is in the ED report as well is sections from their letters, which basically have said that according to our records, we have indeed filed the forms for fiscal years ending 22, 23, and 24. So, and those were filed before the effective date of the revocation notice, which was back in February of 2025. So there isn't any reason, as they were saying, for these, for that statement to be still on the websites. So the accounting firm is working quite diligently with the California Attorney General's Office and the IRS to make sure that that is removed as quickly as possible. Also in the ED report is listed from that letter, the actions for the reasonable cause as to why they should be pulling that revocation. So that you can read, and then also highlighting that there are mobile apps that are now available for all of our stations and also for Pacifica podcasts. So whether you're using an Apple or an Android device, it's a very simple way to listen, stay informed about station activities. And it's very helpful when we have national coverage for things, because you can just kind of flip from app to app and listen to coverage as it's going across the across the network. The negotiations, this is an odd year in that all of our labor and union collective bargaining agreements are renewing at the same time. So it's been helpful in a way to be able to get all of the contracts done over a period of time. Because as I've said before, we're trying to get a sense of consistency and parity between all of the collective bargaining agreements. And then once we get all of those complete, we are then working on creating a new employee handbook that helps kind of create some of that consistency. And most of the consistency with that is with holidays and sick time and things like that, that we just want to make it fair between our union and our non-union employees. The general managers have been very helpful and active as we go through all of the bargaining sessions, and they've been extremely successful and quick and quite pleasant, actually. Another thing that we are working on is it's already written, but it's a volunteer handbook, and it's going to be distributed to the general managers and the program directors at the end of this week, because we have our monthly general manager and management meeting next Tuesday. And so they're going to be reviewing it and taking a look at it so they can see if there's anything that I've missed in putting in the handbook. And there's been some of the general managers and program directors that have been working with me on this for quite some time. But in the ED report, you'll see basically the chapters that are in the handbook and the topics, and then the resources that people will be able to have. And I've mentioned this before, but the Pacifica Foundation has entered into agreement that we're assuming the production and stewardship of Making Contact, which is an award-winning weekly public affairs program that it's been produced for more than 30 years. The nonprofit was closing its doors, and they reached out to Pacifica to ask if we could take over the production of that program. And so the production of the program will be based at KPFK under the leadership of Ace Estwick. And we have producers Dan Pavlish and Maggie LaPique, and editors Glenn Torres and Irene Kim. The inaugural episode was to air yesterday, but there were a couple of little hiccups, and they just asked if it could be the premiere of the KPFK production on August 11th. So that will be broadcasting there. It's a wonderful opportunity to have. It's a long form program, sort of documentary type and style, focusing on one subject. So we were very honored that actually Making Contact reached out to Pacifica and asked that we could continue with that production. And if you just go through the rest of the ED report on your own, you will see different highlights and coverage, program coverage, drive updates, different community activities that are going on at each of the stations. So please read, please share, and enjoy.
So are there questions? I saw that Ron had his hand up, but I think it's gone away. Ron, did you have a question? Apparently not. Okay.
No, I did have a question, but she answered the question. It was about the grievance policy, the WPFW-LSB had put forward. Mm-hmm. And, we've had some discussions about that, and we just wanted to know the status. So right now, I assume the status is based on the union contracts that are pending. Is that the case, Stephanie?
No, not necessarily. The grievance policy for volunteers and staff members, a draft of that was shared with the PNB, I believe, back in May. An early draft of that was sent back in, I think, October or September. That same policy was also sent to Shana to share with the WPFW LSB at a recent meeting.
Yes, and that's why we're trying to get some timelines as to, you know, when we can implement that that grievance policy. Are there any impediments to bringing that policy online for WPFW?
Yeah, I haven't had any pushback or comments from anyone on that policy, so I can remove the draft watermark, and I'll introduce that to a lot of the general managers again, and PDs have been working with me on that, just fine tuning it as well as our legal department, as well as our legal person. So I can remove that draft watermark and I'll hand it to our general managers to implement, when we meet next week.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay. So, I think next up is Anya Lovest, our national election supervisor. And if our esteemed timekeeper would keep time, 10 minutes. Take it away, Anya.
Okay. So, might do better if anybody have any questions, up front. Serene. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, no problem. Serene, go ahead.
It's my turn. I heard somebody say, oh boy. Okay. Thank you for being here. I saw something on the website that says only candidates can request access to the membership list. My recollection is that California law says that any member, may request access to the list to communicate with other members. So why is there a restriction, by Pacifica that, is harsher than the one that the California state, requires?
I chose to do that because the, application to submit to, mail houses, I wanted to narrow that down to just candidates so I could keep track of it. And also the mail houses were not interested in having potentially 27,000 people to reach out to them to send out flyers and brochures.
But I don't think the NES is, I'm not done.
So I'm sorry, Serene. Go ahead.
The state of California says, the nonprofit law section says that any member of the organization may be in contact with other members. On what grounds, on what legal grounds are you placing further restrictions?
Serene, this is the procedure that has been used in the past. The contact through Pacifica. Yes,
not
it is.
True.
That's exactly what the NES did before.
It has never been restricted to candidates only. It has been any member.
Oh, got it. I'm sorry. Wasn't understanding. Got it. So,
this is a violation of California law.
I understand what you're saying and I had misunderstood before and I apologize. So, perhaps, the NES can consult with counsel and get back to us.
Okay, I have another question.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So I'm wondering what the process was for identifying first of all, the candidate forums are not going to be interactive in any true sense because they're not going to be live. They're going to be pre-recorded by people who have access to Zoom. And I'm wondering what sort of consultation was had with the candidates about their availability, because I see dates are going out, but I haven't yet met a candidate who was asked about their availability. And also with regard to the notices that are required.
That's not going to happen.
I'm sorry, what is not going to happen?
I'm not going to consult with 61 candidates about their availability. I'm never going to be able to accommodate everyone. So because of time constraints. Having 61 candidates, either they're going to be available or they're not going to be available. That's it.
Well, so. Previous NESs have always consulted with candidates because not everybody is
okay,
just
so the problem
the
with
afternoon.
The problem
some,
with a lot
people
of you
have to work.
Doreen, you're arguing with the speaker.
The problem with a lot of you Pacifica people is that you keep bringing up what was going on in the past, and we're not in the past right now. We're doing stuff current. So as long as you continue to operate and think from that mindset, you're going to run into some problems.
Okay, Sally.
Okay, my last question is that members for whom we do not have mailing addresses or any current contact information are entitled to a certain amount of notice about every step. So every time an email is sent to the members saying, here's what we're doing, those people for whom we do not have addresses, those people are also entitled to notice in the form of 3 announcements per day for 7 consecutive days. Mm-hmm. That has not happened on our radio stations. How do you plan to comply with the notice requirement in the bylaws?
Because it hasn't happened yet for the voting. It's going to be happening between the 22nd of August and the 27th of August.
It didn't happen for nominations, and it's 7
days.
That's
not accurate.
The 22nd to the 20th.
That's not accurate.
I'm sorry?
That's not accurate.
I'll be putting in a request. I'll put in a request for a direct inspection because I know it did not happen.
Speaker, your time is up for your third question. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lovett.
Thank you. And Sally?
Yeah. Will there be, first of all, as a candidate, I would have appreciated at least advance notice of the time before it was announced. Are staff candidates able to attend the LSB forum? Since we only have 2 staff candidates for 5 stations, I think we all kind of need to attend all of those, which is a lot. But we'll do at least I'll do as many as I can, if that's appropriate.
Anybody can attend the forum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be sending links out to of course the candidates and to the listener members and the staff volunteers. So whoever wants to.
I did hear the PSA this morning on BAI. So yay. Will there be write-ins for the, ballots given the how
no,
chaotic?
No, you already asked me that. You already asked me that, Ms. Sally, and my response was no.
I think given the chaos of the nomination process, I would like that to be reconsidered by whoever needs to consider that check.
Well, it's my consideration and I'm choosing not to do that.
Well, with all due respect, the attitude of, it's my way or the highway is really frustrating.
Sally, that matter was brought up in the PNB. It was brought up in the governance committee. It has been decided, and the NES has been very clear about it. Are there other questions? Okay, so let
Myla,
me know.
Does Myla have her hand up?
Myla's had her virtual hand up.
Okay, sorry. I had an okay in the way. Go ahead, Myla, then Ron, and hold on a minute. Let me note that Kaja has arrived. Kaja, will you please say hello? That was unintelligible.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Okay, great. I'm sorry, Myla, what question did you ask?
Yeah, I would just like to say that when matters concerning California Corporation Code come up, that it would be helpful to all of us to actually know what specific number code law is being cited, rather than just claiming that the law says such and such. And I think that it's probably best, is it not, Madam Chair, for these kinds of allegations about the law, that they be taken up in executive session as opposed to public session. But that's just, it just seemed like we were getting pretty close to that particular line that,
I understand that it's close. I think it's close to the line, but I think a question about access to, you know, what the law is and what the practicalities are for member access to contact other members, I think it's an open session question. And I think that we need clarity with our counsel.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Stephanie? Hang on just a minute. May I let Stephanie speak?
Yeah, I mean, this is a much longer sort of conversation, but there's basically three overlapping bodies of law that we need to kind of look at when dealing with access to membership lists. There's California Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation Law, which I believe is Corporations Code Section 6330 and through 6338, maybe 7 or 8. Then we also have to take into consideration our articles and our bylaws. And then we also have to take into consideration our fair campaign provisions and election procedures. So we, under Corporations Code 6330, a member can inspect a list if it's made in writing, if they state the purpose and it's reasonably related to the person's interests as a member. So those are one of the things that we have to have a basic reason for that. So anybody requesting a list for campaign purposes would have to have a very strong legal reason as to why there's favor in access. However, there's another section within California Code 6330, I don't know, remember if it's A or B, that basically authorizes the corporation to offer a reasonable alternative, because we do have privacy issues and that we can't just be releasing the mailing list at any time. So if we would have to figure out what those alternate things would be. There has been a public benefit, a station, KQED, who addresses issues in California courts, I believe in the early 80s. And they basically said that corporations have a legitimate interest in protecting membership lists from misuse. And so there has to be a reasonable alternative provision, but we have to take into consideration above anything else, the possible misuse, and also just the privacy that we promise to our members. I know that I've gotten emails from organizations within Pacifica that I know I never signed up for, but I get mailings from them. So I do kind of question, how did they get my name? And it would be a personal email to all of a sudden be emailing me things as a member of Pacifica when I never signed up for that. So obviously somewhere there has been a misuse or a sharing of a mailing list, and I have, you know, and my privacy needs to be followed with that. So, you know, there is California code and law, but we do have to take into consideration our bylaws and fair campaign provisions as well. Sorry.
Thank you, Stephanie, for something very thorough. I really appreciate it. I think the specific question that I believe Serene has raised is, can members send out communications through the mail house or through the email house, not having direct access to the member list, but essentially the fair alternative that Pacifica has set up, where you can work through the Chinese wall of a mail house. I think that's what Serene was asking, which I had misunderstood.
Okay, Ron, then Jan.
Madam Chair, sorry, timekeeper. We taking out that last interchange. We have 2.5 minutes for Anja, unless we change it, and we are only at 19 minutes for the executive session still available.
Okay, so I'm not sure how many minutes we had, but let's finish the stack. Ron, and then Jan. Ron?
Okay, there we go. Okay, a couple of questions for Stephanie and the election supervisor. There were PFW for one station didn't have enough candidates to fill those seats, some of those seats that were vacant. Is there a plan or is there a discussion about how those seats are going to get filled?
Ron, if yeah. I may, the governance committee discussed that, and we will have a more robust discussion when we get to the governance committee report.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Jan?
Yes. I just wanted to clarify the issue relating to Serene's question, and I thought Stephanie did a very good job as to most of the answer. This is an area I'm very familiar with as a lawyer who has practiced in this particular area of law, and that is that the area of law is covered not just by the statute, but by cases also, which Stephanie mentioned, the lead case, the KQED case. But members do indeed have a right to access other members. Any member has a right to access members in the whole corporation. And the alternative set up by Pacifica of allowing that to happen through a mail house is an appropriate method of doing that. The inspection, the alternate to the inspection is using the mail house. But the law and the law, the case law along with California state law overrides our bylaws. Just clearly, if they're in conflict, the state law overrides it. And the state law includes the case law interpreting the statutes. So people, every member has a right to access every other member.
Okay. And Jan, you've made that very clear. I think we can move on.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thorough response to Serene. Okay, the next item, I'd just like to note that the Audit and Finance Committee, the matters that they have attended to will be addressed in executive session. And the Governance Committee, Jan, are you ready to offer that motion or should I go ahead and read it?
Oh, would you please read it?
Sure. So the Governance Committee met last week, I don't do dates, and approved one motion to come forward today, and I will read that motion. Be it resolved that all PNB and LSB committees must post an agenda on KPFTX and either minutes or recordings of their sessions or both, and be it further resolved that town hall meetings must post an agenda on kpftx.org and an audio recording of the meeting, and that any town halls which do not comply will not be posted on KPFTX. Because it comes from committee, there no second is needed. Serene.
Okay, so I would like to table this motion and send it back to the governance committee. What did not happen at that meeting was a genuine discussion about the problem with the posting of, that was the governance committee, and the agenda is, I think never would be a fair word to use, never posted in advance. In addition, the PNB agenda is very seldom posted at KPFTX. So we should not
Serena, are you offering a motion? Are you offering a motion?
I'm offering a motion to table this motion because it needs to have some parameters.
Serene, you are motivating it. Is there a second to Serene's motion to table?
Second.
Okay. Then discussion. Serene, what is your rationale?
Okay. So I think the board should not demand behavior of others that we do not practice ourselves. I think that asking that an agenda be posted, you know, within 72 hours of the meeting is fine. We got ours at 1 o'clock this morning. So that wasn't even 24 hours for the board. And the public only got it, as far as I know, when I sent it out this afternoon. So we need to take a look at how we are, the standards that we're asking others to observe, we should also practice. The governance agenda is never posted. Many LSBs sometimes fail to post even the Zoom inviting people to the meeting and stating that there's public comment. So there's something about taking care of the mote in your, the beam in your eye before you take care of the mote in someone else's. I think there's work to be done.
So, listen, you've made your point. Does anybody wish to address and speak in favor or against the motion to table?
Either or against.
Yes is to support the motion to table. No is to oppose the motion to table. All right, so why don't we go ahead and take a vote? Aki, will you mind taking the roll?
Point of information?
Yes.
Okay. So we've heard the proposer of the amendment. We've heard her rationale. Her argument.
Hang on a minute. We've got some noise coming out of 310. Thank you. Go ahead, Teresa. Sorry.
So I'm just wondering, her argument is that, you know, because the PNB has not posted posted agendas, then we shouldn't ask committees and town hall meetings to do that. But perhaps we're just thinking like moving forward, we're expecting these agendas to be posted. So
you're speaking against?
I think I'm speaking against the amendment because I think what we want is just moving forward.
It's a motion to table.
So you're speaking against. And I'm opposed to that and I'd like to hear some other discussion if there's a problem with just moving forward. We're going to say we're going to do this. We're going to get those agendas out.
Sally?
I also heard that minutes were acceptable for the committees but not the town halls, and I wonder why the difference there at the option, you know, an either or for there should be for either. And I think it doesn't, we might as well just table this for a month and include the fact that the PNB meeting agendas will be posted and include all, you know, everything equally, get it right to the full amount.
Fine. You're speaking in favor of tabling until, or postponing.
Until we put all the pieces in. Yep.
I think the appropriate term is postponing until the September PNB meeting. And let me just answer. I'm a member of the governance committee. The reason why minutes were not suggested as the alternative for town hall meetings is town hall meetings do not have motions. They do not conduct business. It's a conversation, if you will. And so the recording is basically the only way to be able to get a clear record of what has been. I suppose a transcript could, but a recording is the most reliable way to do that. Donna, then Ron.
Okay. I think motion to table is appropriate. What might be appropriate, and maybe not happening tonight, is a motion for all the work that needs to be done to be done in a structured way. And yeah, so I'm in favor of tabling it.
Okay, Ron.
Yeah, I'm in favor of tabling also because, you know, there's some uncertainty about some areas and, you know, this particular issue, it's important, but we can stand a little more debate or discussion about this. And the only way we're going to do that is to table it for the next go around.
Okay, so I would like to be clear that the motion is to table or postpone until the September PNB meeting. Consideration of this motion. If you vote yes, you're supporting tabling. If you vote no, you're not supporting that motion, and we would go to a vote on the motion that's come before the board. Aki, will you be kind to take a vote?
Teresa?
I sing.
Okay, I'm saying. All right. Kaja Brown? Kaja?
No.
No, okay. Donna Carter?
Yes, for tabling.
Okay. Let's see, Sarah Gallup?
Yes, table.
Okay. Jen Goodman? Jen? Get back to you. Judy is basically absent. Evadia Jones?
Yes.
Okay, table. Zach Haldivia?
No.
Okay, Zach is no. Sean K. McPherson?
No.
Okay, he's no. Darian Pagano?
No.
Okay, Pagano is no. Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Ron is yes. Maya Reason?
No.
Mine is no. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Serene is yes, okay. James Sagerton, is he on? Okay, it's not on.
Did 301 introduce themselves? 301?
310 is Jan Goodman.
All right, okay. Thank you, right. Sorry.
Minerva Sanders?
I'm going to pass for right now.
Okay. All right. And Dennis Williams?
Yes.
Dennis is yes. Michael Woodson?
No.
Michael is no. Let me get back to Jan. How do you vote?
Jan Goodman votes no.
Jan votes no. Okay. And only one remaining is Minerva. You passed.
I'm voting no.
Okay, voting no. Right now the count is? So 6 yes and 8 no, so the motion to postpone.
I wish to change my vote.
Who's that?
That's Evalia.
Oh, Evalia, okay. How do you vote?
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. No.
Okay, you both know. So it's 5-9. So the motion to postpone fails. So we vote on the main motion?
Yes. So we'll go ahead and vote on the main motion. Aki, the main motion is, as I read, I'll read it again, be it resolved that all PNB and LSB committees must post an agenda on kpftx.org and either minutes or recordings of their sessions or both. And be it further resolved that town hall meetings must post an agenda on kpftx.org and an audio recording of the meeting, and that any town halls which do not comply will not be posted on KPFTX.
Madam Chair, I must interrupt. There are 4 more minutes in the entire meeting left. I beg your pardon. I'm wrong. Sorry.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so go ahead, Aki, and take the vote.
Okay.
My hand is up for a question.
No, we're going ahead and taking the vote, Serene. Go ahead, Aki.
Okay, Teresa.
Okay, the motion doesn't have to make sense just as long as you pass it. Okay, got it.
Teresa.
Alan says yes to the motion.
Okay, thank you. Kaja Brown?
Kaja? Yes.
Okay, yes. Okay. Donna Carter?
No.
Donna is no. Okay. Sadigal?
Pass.
Pass, okay. Jen Goodman?
Vote yes.
Okay. And Evelia Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Zach Caldebia?
Yes.
Okay, Zach. Okay. Sean K. McPherson?
Yes.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene is yes. Ron Pinchback?
No.
Don is no. Okay, Myra Reason?
Reason votes yes.
Reason is yes. Serene Roberts?
No, we can't do something retroactively.
Sorry, Serene, just say no.
Okay. All right, Minerva.
It doesn't make sense.
Serene, I'm calling you out of order. You have been at, thank you very much. All
okay,
right.
Minerva Sanders, Hockey. Minerva Sanders.
Let me pass for right now.
Okay. And, Dennis Williams.
No.
Okay, Dennis is no. Okay. Michael Woodson?
Yeah, sure.
Michael is yes. And let me get back to the past people. Sadie Gellert, you passed?
No.
What's that, Sadie?
That was a no.
Okay, thank you. And then one of the past is Minerva. You passed, Minerva?
Mine is
a
yes.
Yes, yes, okay. It's right now it's 10 yes and 5 no. Okay,
so the motion
passes.
And
right.
we are at time certain for the, or 1 minute of time certain for going into executive session. So that means that, and I don't believe that there's any unfinished or new business, and the affiliates report perhaps we can provide in writing if there is one. And Julie has already informed people regarding the other motion that was addressed at the governance committee. And if there are further questions of it, call, you know, email her or me. So
Madam
I'll accept
Chair,
the motion.
Sorry, I preempted you. I was going to make a motion to adjourn to executive session.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second.
Okay, any objection? We're moving into executive session. So,